Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Thank you, Pastor Chad and choir and orchestra. We do praise him. And I thank you all for being a part of this wonderful day that's so meaningful to Sandy and me, so unbelievable to Sandy and me. I would have never scripted this story. In fact, a little while back, kind of late summer, a subgroup of the search committee, they had already spent hundreds of hours looking. And so I think four representatives from the search committee came in and visited me and said, "We just keep coming back to you. And we want to know, is there any way you would consider continuing the interim on and taking that interim off your title?" And I think I said to them, "You turkeys, you're supposed to have found somebody." And I'm sorry I said that, but that's what I felt. This was not in the script when I said yes to being interim pastor. That was unique enough, coming back from having pastored here before for 5.5 years. And I love this congregation. I felt a part of it. But I did not have this in mind when I said yes to being interim. I just mainly took a deep breath and said, "I hope I could do this for a few months," knowing I still have a day job next door. And so this is an amazingly meaningful moment for us. Thank you for your confidence. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your care for us. Thank you for just being you. I just think this is the greatest congregation in the world. This is my church family, and this is such an amazing, wonderful place. And I can't quite explain it, but I feel our future deep inside of me. I can't even put words to it, but I just know we're going to ride a wave of something that God is doing. I told the Lord, "Lord, if I say yes to this, you've got to carry this, and you have to carry me and us together as a church family and do something sovereign." And so here we are, and may God do it. And I want to thank the board for their wonderful leadership and for your desire to have this formalized as an installation today. There are elections, but there are also spiritual transactions, and that means a lot to me that you would want us to engage in this. I want to thank the pastoral staff for your amazing work. They manage the church day by day. They supervise all the ministries day by day. My role is preaching and leadership here in the part-time hours I have and in this very unique arrangement we've come to. And I just love this pastoral team. And I'm so grateful for their patience with my absences at times and their patience with me when I'm present. And I'm prodding them on. And wow. Love you guys. Thank you all, and your families and your spouses. I want to thank Dr. Wood and Jewel. What an honor to have you here. I would never have thought. I too pray this is the last time you install me. It's nothing personal, but I too pray. This is getting exhausting. You have complicated my life way too much. Except there's something different this time. When Dr. Wood installed me in 1988, it was at the church he was leaving that he had pastored for 17 years. So I had to follow him. And then when he installed me in 2003, 14 years ago, he had been the interim pastor. So I had to follow him again. This time, thank God, I get to follow myself. It's way easier. You don't want to follow Dr. Wood. Take it from me. I've done it twice. Three times. I had to be general secretary too. Man. See, he does complicate my life like a lot. But he's one of my dearest friends and mentors. I'm honored to say he was my boss as well. And a few people have been a greater cheerleader and more significant in my life than Dr. Wood and Jewel and your wonderful family. Thank you. And my district pastor, my pastor, Don Miller and Vicki, thank you. What an honor to have you here. We get to talk because I'm general secretary. I work with credentials ministers. You work with credential ministers. we get to talk fairly often. I love your heart. I'm so grateful for what you're doing in our district family. This is not a sermon. This is going to be a short reflection in which I would like, I'm going to look at, in fact, thank you for the new Bible. This will be handy, seeing I preach. This will be handy, having a new Bible. I'm going to use it today. I'm going to be looking at two of my favorite verses that describe the church. They're in the book of Ephesians, if you want to generally go to Ephesians. I want to build my comments, brief comments, around five commitments that I want to make to you as a pastor to a church family. They kind of paraphrase the charge I received a few minutes ago. But they will commit, I have five commitments, and they will set us up for the ending of our service, in which I would want to invite you to make three commitments, not to me this time, but to the life of our church and to our mission as a church. And I believe as a servant leader, I believe any servant leader biblically, we make commitments to those we lead before we ever expect them to make commitments to us. You're going to recognize these possibly because on Sunday night of the day when Pastor Wood installed me as pastor of Central the other time in 2003, on Sunday night, I made these five commitments to you. They still represent how I lead. They still represent the way I want to pledge myself now to you personally as a congregation. And the first commitment is that I commit to be a spiritual leader. Now, different pastors have different strengths. Some are great fundraisers. Some pastors are great organizational leaders. Some pastors are incredibly good with pastoral care, being there by your bedside when you're sick. Some pastors are great with building facilities. Some pastors are great relational pastors. They spend most of their week just hanging out with people and loving on people. And those are all great things. With a day job, I mean, I did all of those things when I was full-time here before. And I value all of those things. And I will do elements of all of those things to you. But above all, I want to be a spiritual leader. Because the thing I love most about Central Assembly is the way you make place for the presence of God. I want to see people saved here. I want to see people delivered, not because I'm a good preacher or a wonderful leader, but because the power of the Holy Spirit is in this place. We need God. We don't just need a pastor. We need God above anything else. And so I want to pledge to be a spiritual leader. One of my favorite verses about the church is Ephesians 2 and verse 22. And in him, in Jesus, you two are being built together. We all are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That is stunning to me. We're being built together to be nothing less than the place where God's presence dwells and lives. And that's where I want to take you week after week. I want to be above all a spiritual leader. Secondly, I pledge to you that, and I commit to you, to be a growing person. I want to be a growing person. My philosophy of leadership is this: I grow, and I invite you to grow with me. It's as simple as that. I'm not going to expect you to grow at a time in my life where I coast, and I decide I don't need to grow anymore. I just need to get everybody around me growing. I promise you, I will not coast. I promise you, I won't live recklessly, but I'm not going to live safely. I'm going to keep stretching myself. I'm going to keep trying things I've never tried before. I'm going to keep studying. I'm going to try to be a better preacher by 5 years from now. I'm going to try to be a better leader by 5 years from now, because I pledge to you, I'm not going to stop growing. And I will, week after week, invite you to grow with me. My third commitment, if this isn't human nature, is the one you all remembered from last time, if you were here. I commit to disappoint you. Somehow, somewhere, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm not going to try to disappoint you. It won't be my intention, but it's inevitable. I'm not going to be able to preach to your level every week. I'm not going to be able to perform to your expectations all the time. No human being can do that, even full of the Spirit of God. I mean, even people were disappointed in Paul. That's why he wrote two or three of his letters in the New Testament. And the reason I say this is because, number two, you're probably going to disappoint me sometimes. We're going to call a prayer meeting and nobody will show up. I know what it is to feel disappointed in a congregation. Or we're going to need people to step up to the plate financially. It may not be quite there. And we're going to need volunteers. And we're going to want people stepping into leadership. And some of you are going to be hesitant. I mean, there's going to be times you will probably disappoint me too. So my point of this commitment is to say, let's face it, let's get over it this morning, and let's get on with things. This is what relationships are about. This is life. We're going to disappoint each other. Big deal. Let's get on with what God's called us to do. Amen? Number four, I commit to build a people-centered, team-based approach to ministry. You know what? We're going to grow, and this is my other favorite verse. We're going to grow not because you have a new pastor. We're going to grow because here is how Paul in Ephesians 4 describes how churches grow. It's the other favorite verse that describes churches. We visited this 1 month ago, actually, on a Sunday morning. In verse 16 of Ephesians 4, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How does the body grow? We're connected to the head, Jesus, connected to God. That's the first statement in our mission statement. And then we're connected to one another. We're joined together by every joint and ligament. Everything kingdom comes back to community. We're connected together. And then how do we grow and fulfill our mission? It's as each part does its work. It's not as every church gets the right pastor. It's as each part does the work, the church builds itself up in love. That's why I think the wrong question for us to ask is, how do we grow Central Assembly? The right question is, how do we grow people? And I want to commit to you to be your biggest cheerleader. I believe in your potential. My role and the leaders who work with me are to equip you for ministry. Because as we're joined together in relationship, connected to the head, Jesus Christ, we grow as each part does its work. And we build ourselves up in love. What a vision for what the church can be. So we're going to keep this not pastor-centered. We're going to keep this people-centered. And we're going to do things in teams because we're better in teams. We're better connected with one another. And that's how I commit to lead as we move into our future. And the last commitment I'm going to have some help with today. In fact, I'd like Carter T. McDaniel and Kennison Ray and Savo Luwale and Cindy Seitz and Gary Allen, if you would just come up and join me. Because my last commitment is to believe with you for the future of Central Assembly. If I don't think we have a future, I'll do you a favor and I'll quit. You won't have to fire me. But I deeply believe in the future God's shaping for Central Assembly. And I've asked five of our friends in this congregation, five of my personal friends as well, if they would come, and I've asked them each to script and to read for us a one-minute prayer as they lead us in a faith-filled prayer for the future of Central Assembly. And they're going to come. You'll see their names again on the screen as they come. We're only going to show the ages of the two youngest on the screen and save everyone else that pain. But I love these folks. They have wonderful hearts. They've been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether young or old, they glorify Jesus with their lives. And I want to invite you to pray in agreement with these five different lenses on faith for the future of our church family. I'm committing as a pastor to believe with you for our future. And I'm so grateful for your help to pray. We're going to start with Carter T.
Lord, we want to thank you for the past, the present, and most importantly, the future of Central Assembly. We have heard the testimonies from those who've gone before about your hand guiding Central through our 110 years of existence, and we come together today to ask for your presence in our next 110 years. We pray that your spirit will be poured out in our hearts and lives. We pray for Pastor Jim, that you give him ears to hear your heart and eyes to see where you will lead us. Yes. We ask this in your name.
Dear God, I want to thank you today for providing Central with a pastor and giving us the gift of a leader who equips us to spread the gospel. I pray that the youth program will thrive under his leadership as we receive confidence and strength to spread truth in our schools. As we move forward, let Central be a light in a world that has strayed from you. Help us extend our impact on other churches and organizations around the world. Let us be witnesses to non-believers and help us grow strong relationships in the church body. As we look towards the future, let our hearts and desires be in your will. Amen.
Amen. It's wonderful, Kenneth. Thanks.
Father, you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. You began a good work at Central, and you will bring it to completion. So we humbly set our lives, our minds, and our hearts to focus on the reality that in this season, it is still you, God, at work in and through us to continue to establish your name and your renown. So Lord, grant us your grace as we step into this new season as a church. Give your grace, favor, honor to Pastor Jim and his precious wife, Sandy. Hold back no good thing from them, Father, as well as our amazing pastoral staff. Lead us through your Holy Spirit and teach us to use wisely all the time, talent, and treasure we have been given and establish the work of our hands. Father, I pray that you may help my generation and every generation that makes up this church live a life worthy of you, Lord. May we please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, continuing to grow in the knowledge of you, God, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we may have power, endurance, and patience, and joyfully give thanks to you, God our Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. In Jesus' strong name, amen.
And God, we praise you, and we worship you, and we thank you for your faithfulness. God, there is a heritage in this room that is amazing as we look to where you've brought us from. Lord, we are looking forward together. We declare once again that our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
For you, oh God, are so mighty. As we seek your face, Lord, we know you will lead us and you will guide us.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh God, our prayer now is to rend the heavens and come down. Lord,
yes,
manifest
Lord.
Your almighty presence
yes,
among
Lord.
Us. Fan into flame, God, the gifts that you have given to each one of us.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Us not to be negligent to use those gifts yes. for your purpose, for your Jesus. Calling, and for your will. Oh God of hope, fill us. Fill us with all joy and with all peace as we trust in you, God, that we may abound in hope through the power,
yes.
through the power of your Holy Spirit. In yes. Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we're a church family diverse in age, ethnicity, and culture. Each of us brings something very special into this family. Help us to work together to build your kingdom, to be the light that leads our neighbors to you. May
yes.
we be good role models to the people
yes.
around us
yes.
so that they see you and
yes.
your love within us, and in
yes.
doing so, they will want to know you.
Yes.
Grant us patience to work together. Help
yes.
us to work with understanding and compassion.
Yes.
We desire and need your wisdom,
Amen.
Discernment, and anointing.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for giving us Pastor Bradford and his wife, Sandy. They are your choice servants and our chosen leaders.
Yes.
You have given pastor to Central Assembly for such a time as this. Charles Spurgeon said, "No man can do me a truer kindness in this world than to pray for me."
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Lord, we commit to pray for our pastor, our brother, our model. Protect him from Satan. May he always be strong and courageous. Keep his marriage and family strong. Give him deep spiritual encouragement. Father, send us again he whom you said will be with us and in us. Come, Holy Spirit, our souls long for you. We need a fresh baptism of fire and power. We are totally and utterly dependent upon you. And these things we ask In the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen.
Amen, amen. Will you all stand together? Let's just thank the Lord for hearing our prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you, Lord. In the holiness of this moment, we thank you. You're going to help us walk into our future. Thank you, Lord.
God has richly blessed this congregation with quality leadership, both pastor and staff. What a rich heritage this church has had down through the years. A flagship for our fellowship. It's not an original phrase with me, but it is so true. If a church's memories ever become greater than its dreams,
yes,
it's in deep weeds.
That's right.
But thank God. I believe that the greatest days for Central Assembly are not behind you.
Yes, amen.
They are in front of you.
Yes, let it be.
God has great plans for this church. As the election occurred a few weeks ago, it was not a political exercise. It was an effort to discern the will of God. By bringing Brother Bradford before this congregation for a vote, the leadership was stating to you, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us that the Bradfords should lead us as pastor. And as they placed a ballot in your hand, you were, in a sense, directed, if it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to you that the Bradfords should be our pastor, please write yes. And as you did so, there was a confirmation that this was the path of God for you. And now that God's brought you together, it's a time for you as a congregation to make some commitments. The pastor commits to seek God and to lead you as a shepherd. Now you commit to God and to your pastor and to each other to follow the Lord and your leadership as God moves you ahead toward the vision that he has for this church. And at this time, I'm going to lead you in making three commitments. And then after you do so, Dr. Wood is going to step to this podium one more time. And as we prayed consecration and commitment prayer over the pastor, now he'll pray consecration and commitment prayer over all of you. First of all, a commitment to God. If you'll accept the challenge and agree to this commitment, I ask you to look to the overhead, if you would please, and follow me as you personally read this statement aloud. We commit to glorify God, walk in the grace of Jesus, and give place to the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I gotta stop for a minute. Please don't ever lose that. We are Pentecostal, and we believe in the moving of God's Spirit. Keep that, cherish that, guard that. Sorry, I just had to preach for a minute. Now we speak of connecting to others. Would you join with me? We commit to love and serve those around us through friendship, encouragement, and mentoring relationships. And now we commit to the purpose God has for this congregation. Please follow me. We commit to invest our time, our givings, and our resources in the task of reaching people for Jesus locally and global.